lesson. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 304, stanzas 2, 4, and 6. His saints delight to search and trace his mighty works and wondrous ways, majestic glory, boundless grace, and righteousness his work displays. 2, 4, and 6 of Psalter 304.
Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in 2 Kings chapter 4. But before that, we read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning with verse 8 to and including verse 17. 2 Kings 4, 8 to 17. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber, and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, Call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, What then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life thus far. Let us together read the form for the administration of holy baptism that can be found on page 126 in the back of the Psalter. Form for the administration of baptism. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water, teaches us, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified. And we admonished to loathe and humble ourselves before God, and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing and avert all evil or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we, by God through baptism, admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal, an undoubted testimony, that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism, for as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ. As God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. This also the apostle Peter testifieth with these words, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Acts 2 verse 39. Therefore God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore God also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Mark 10. Since then, baptism is come in the place of circumcision. Therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant. And parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to years of discretion.
That therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of his church, let us call upon his holy name. O Almighty and Eternal God, Thou who hast, according to Thy severe judgment, punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast, according to Thy great mercy, saved and protected believing Noah and his family, Thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy graciously to look upon these children and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son, Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with him into his death and be raised with him in newness of life, that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that they may with a comfortable sense of thy favor leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. I now request the parents to arise and to answer the following questions. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore, it must be used for that end and not out of custom or superstition, that it may then be manifest that you are thus minded. You are to answer sincerely to these questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore as members of his church ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments and in the articles of the Christian faith and which is taught here in this Christian church to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. Thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children when come to the years of discretion whereof you are parents, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. What is your answer, Father and Mother Bredewech? Father and Mother Van de Wecha. Dear parents, it is a very solemn promise that you just made. It is a good promise. It is a promise for which you as parents will be held accountable by the Lord. How would that be if the Lord would say, if you will be faithful in that promise, then I will grant you this blessing that we have just heard, the blessing that your children cannot miss, and that you cannot miss. And that I base that upon how that you will fulfill that word that you have just spoken. Would you be glad with that? If you may know yourself a little bit, then you will not be glad with that, because it would make it impossible. It would make it utterly impossible for your children, because even the most holy of the Lord's people are so utterly unstable in the midst of this world. There is no constancy within God's people in and of themselves. Listen for a moment to what the Lord spoke to Moses before he died. He said to Moses, "Behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go a-whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, and forsake me, and break my covenant with which I have made with them. For I know their imagination which they go about, even now, before I brought them into the land which I swear." Thus the Lord knew. He knew this people, and that Moses had brought up to that land of Canaan, and he knew what that people were going to do and what they were going to be after the death of Moses. And yet the Lord did not say, because of who that people are, because they will be so unfaithful, I refuse to bring them into that land of Canaan. Then you understand it would be hopeless for this people. Thus it is not because of anything in that people. The Lord says it is something which I have sworn to them. Thus it is not your promise which you have made, but it is the Lord's promise that he has made. We just sang about that. From him, his saints, redemption came. His covenant, sure. No change can know. No change. It is impossible for the Lord to change his word. And that is an attribute of God which is like a rock. Like a rock, a solid rock, like a mountain which is immovable. No man can move it. His people cannot move it. The devil cannot move it. And all hell raised against that church is not able to move that mountain, that rock. That is now what baptism is all about. It speaks about a new covenant, an unbreakable covenant, over against the old covenant. That breakable covenant, is that now not a precious thing? Is that now not a beautiful thing? It has to become so. A precious thing to us and to our children. And it cannot become so unless and until we receive knowledge of ourselves and our own guilt and our own unfaithfulness until there come room for His only begotten Son and everything that He has done. And then we will see a little by that Spirit of the Lord, a little of that rock. That rock that is confessed, that is professed in baptism. May the Lord give it unto you and to your children. While the children are brought in, let us sing from Psalter 308, the fourth stanza. All ye that fear Him and adore the Lord, increase you more and more. Both great and small who Him confess, you and your children He will bless. Yea, blessed are ye of Him who made the heavens and earth's foundations laid. 408. And after baptism, we ask the congregation to stand and to sing 425, stanza 5. Julian Chris, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Jessica Anita, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now close with thanksgiving and at the same time ask a blessing upon this service. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise Thee that Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins. Through the blood of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be Thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech Thee, through the same Son of Thy love, that Thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by Thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they then may acknowledge Thy fatherly goodness and mercy, which Thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify Thee and Thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God. Strengthen these parents with Thy grace, that they may receive what is necessary to be faithful in this duty and in every obligation that Thou dost lay upon them. And when Thou givest to them a soul to care for, in the midst of a wicked and a perverse generation, in the midst of this world, wherein Satan himself is loosed more and more, and his attacks upon Thy church become more grievous, that they themselves as fathers and mothers may have a place reserved, an inner place, a place in their own closet, but also a place that is given them by Thee Thyself, a place of liberty and a place of freedom, to lay all their needs for themselves and their children before Thee, that they may feel and experience that Thou art a prayer-giving, a prayer-hearing, and a prayer-answering God, that it may not be only a form and a custom what has taken place in these moments, but that Thou wilt give unto them what Thou gavest unto Thy servant, when Thou said, I have caused Thee to inherit substance. O Lord, give them that substance in their own hearts, that it may mean everything to them, and that Thou art their God, and that Thou might be the God also of their seed. Remember the grandparents and the great-grandparents. Thou knowest where they are, they are here, they are also far away, and Thou hast brought them here in safety. Wilt Thou give also an acknowledging heart, that Thou givest their children and their grandchildren to be here in Thy house of prayer, and to become in an outward way part of Thy visible church, that they also may receive a place before Thee for all the generations to come, and that Thou may look upon us as a congregation when thou dost increase our numbers in a natural way. But Lord, thou knowest what we so need. We need that thou wouldst come with thy spirit. That we need that thou would come amongst us. That thou would send forth that spirit from the place where thou dwellest. That is a place on high, but thou sayest that thou humblest thyself. To behold all the things that are done in the heavens and in the earth, then is it not in a special way, O Lord, the things that do take place within thy church? And is it not in a special way under the institutions which thou hast given, and the institution of baptism, and the institution of the preaching of thy holy word? Oh, that thou thyself may bless and sanctify it then. Do come in our midst and give unto thy people a heart of acknowledgement and a little hope once again. That thou knowest them that are thine, and that thou wilt build thy Zion in our midst. Wilt thou give those who have no children a heart that may be satisfied, a heart that may bow under all thy doings, and that they may cleave to thee, and that thou may remember them in thy own way, which is always the best way. Lord, that thou may remember those who do desire inward fruit. Oh, give it unto each one of us. That is what we cannot miss. Lord, take reasons out of thyself. Wash and cleanse us from all our iniquities. Help us in this hour to bring forth a few words out of thy holy will. Keep us from sin. Forgive our many sins, and give us even to cry as a little child for all our iniquities, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 307 all the stanzas. When Israel out of Egypt went, from people of a speech unknown, the Lord among his people dwelt, and there he set his royal throne. 1-4 of Psalter 307. congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon hour can be found in the portion that was read to you, 2 Kings chapter 4, and there of the first part of the 16th verse. 2 Kings 4, verse 16, the first part. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. So far the words of our text. The promise to the woman of Shunem. First, the promise received. And second, the promise fulfilled. The promise to the woman of Shunem. First, the promise received. And second, the promise fulfilled. And he said, who said? That is, Elisha said, the prophet of the Lord. And to whom did he say it? We read here, it is a woman of Shunem. Thus, Shunem can be found in the northern part of the land of Israel, boys and girls, up by the Sea of Galilee. Then you have Mount Tabor, and further to the west, you have Mount Carmel, and just south of these, then you will find in Issachar, in this city, Shunem. And now the Bible says there was in Shunem a great woman. What is that? A great woman. She was a woman who was wealthy. She was a woman who was distinguished. She was a woman of means, of a great estate. And yet she was a woman of faith. That is what we may see in the history that is before us. That is not so common. The apostle says, hath not God chosen the poor of this world? Thus it is not so common that we have a great woman, and she is also a woman of faith. And yet, those riches, this greatness in the world does not stand in the way of the Lord. David also was rich, and Solomon had many, many riches, and these were also the chosen of the Lord. What do we read in God's word? We read that the love of money, not money itself, but the love of money, that is the root of all evil. Paul says they that will be rich, that will be rich, not necessarily that are rich, but that will be. Thus it can be even someone who is poor in this world and wants to be rich, and that is, he says, a temptation. That is a snare, because then we are ready to do everything just to be rich, young people. Is that what we desire, just to be rich? Is it not true then? Well, we read in God's word that the Lord has chosen the poor of this world. That is so true. What did the Lord Jesus say? How hardly shall a rich man enter into the kingdom of God? Why is that? Well, because with those riches, then there are so many things that come into our lives. We can read in the Bible, when we have gotten them, now we have to keep them. And thus, all the concerns of a person are only increasing with all the riches that he has in the midst of this world. And it is true, indeed true, that God hath chosen the poor of this world. But the Lord knows how to make a great woman poor. And he knows also how to make you and I poor. Doesn't matter how much we may possess in this world. What do we read about this woman? We read that she had no child. Thus we read about her poverty. And if you would ask her how much would she give of all the greatness that she has in this world, if she may have a child, oh, then I think she would say, I will give everything that I have, and that I will live just as a poor person in this world if I may only have a child. Oh, parents, do not be grieved with all the expenses that a child does cost, that it does not allow you to have all the material things that your heart may desire in this life, because there are those that have no child, not even one child. How must that be? Do you think that that woman of Shunem prayed for a child? Oh, we can be sure that that woman has prayed for a child. That was one of the greatest afflictions that a woman could have, even greater than we feel today. Because at that time, then, they were looking for the coming of the Messiah. And thus it was a great burden to such a woman that she has no child. But the Lord did not give her a child. No matter how much she has prayed, no matter how much and how many times that she has laid that before the Lord, maybe with weeping, and also with her husband. But it seems like the Lord does not hear this woman. Do you know what that is? To pray, to try to pray, and to go on your knees over and over and over again. And you say there is no answer. That it seems as if the Lord does not hear my prayer. Do you know what the Lord teaches His people? He teaches His people that they are not God, like we wanted to be in Adam, our father, our covenant head. What he was drawn to be, to make all the decisions, and to say how everything was going to go in this world, that we did not have to be submissive to God, that we would say how that it was going to go in our life. Do you know what the Lord teaches His people? The Lord teaches His people that they are unworthy. Are unworthy. That is a long lesson very often. That I am unworthy, like Jacob says, of the least of all thy notice and of all thine attention. Difficult lesson because of our fall. And then how is it in the heart of this woman of Shunem, when the desires of her heart are not fulfilled, and when there is no answer from heaven, and that it seems for many, many years together? Malachi spoke of a people who said, it is vain to serve God. And what is now the profit that we have kept His ordinances? It is vain. It does not help. God does not hear us. Does that woman say that? This woman of Shunem? We do not read that. No, we read actually just the opposite. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. Thus, this woman had a very great respect for this servant of God, that he is a man of God. And she did constrain him. That speaks about not only asking him if he will come and eat bread, she desires to serve him. She desires to be a help to him. And he, out of modesty, declines her generosity. But she does not give up. No, she has a love in her heart. And he is constrained. And it seems that, well, that is a place. It is a place that he likes to be. That is a woman, that is a family where he can be. It is a family where he can stay. It is a conversation which he delights to have, so that when he comes next time, then he is ready to go unto this place again. And it was so that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. What is the company that we love? Is that a company that is speaking about all the entertainments in this world? Or do we love a company and that fears the Lord? We read here, and she said unto her husband, "Behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither." Thus she was ready with all the greatness that the Lord had given unto her, that is all a gift to her, and she is ready with all that greatness even to put, we would say, a little addition on her house. A little room on the wall, a little chamber, and to put furniture, simple furniture, that she may serve this man of God. Thus we read of no bitterness that is living in the heart of this woman for the Lord, for the affliction that he has afflicted her with. It seems there is in that woman only a bowing. There is a quiet submitting to the tribulation that the Lord has laid upon her shoulders. All that is a fruit of the feeling of the experience of our unworthiness, that we may allow God to be God, because otherwise we raise our fist to heaven. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Call this Shunammite." And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, "Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host?" And she answered, "I dwell among mine own people." Thus generosity begets gratitude. And that is living in the heart of Elisha and his servant Gehazi. And Elisha wants to give back something also unto this woman. What does the Lord say? He says, "Give and it shall be given unto you." That is so in a natural way. But especially the Lord says that we must give to the poor. And the Lord is rewarding those who are helping the poor, who are giving unto his people, his servants, those that are in great need. Then the Lord says there is a reward for that. And Elisha, he wants also to give a reward in that way, as it were from the Lord, unto this woman who has taken so good care of them. Boys and girls, do you ever look around you when you are at home and see everything that your mother and your father do for you? Do you ever notice that? Or do you have your eyes just upon yourself? Look around a little bit. Look around, especially at your mother. When she is busy, maybe you have more brothers and sisters in your family. And when she is trying to do this for you and that for you, and let your heart, boys and girls, be filled with gratitude that is godly. And ask your mother sometimes, "Mother, is there something that I now can do for you?" That is now what Elisha did. When he said to this woman, "All that you have done for us, now what can I do for you?" And now that woman desires nothing in return from Elisha. Do you know, she is a woman. She knows what the Lord Jesus said later, that it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And then that woman says, "I dwell among mine own people." Thus she is content. There is no desire for her to have anything of the great men of this world. And even under her affliction, that great affliction that she lives with every day, "I dwell," she says, "among my own people." Paul wrote to Timothy, "Godliness with contentment is great gain." For he says that we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. Are we then now as content as this woman? "I dwell among mine own people." And he said, "What then is to be done for her?" And Gehazi answered, "Verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old." What kind of an answer is that? That is actually a remarkable answer from Gehazi. That is actually an insightful answer. Because Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, has seen something. That woman has everything in this world. That woman has so many possessions. She is a great woman. She is a respected woman in this world. But Gehazi saw the sorrow of her heart. That woman did not need to say anything. Gehazi seems to be, we read later on, that he was a covetous man. And yet Gehazi seems to have been also an insightful man. But there is more. Because it is an answer also of faith. Not of saving faith, no, but of miraculous faith, because Gehazi is suggesting, he does not say that, but he is suggesting unto Elisha a miracle. Gehazi understands, he knows who his master is, and Elisha has not spoken about doing anything of such a kind at all, Elisha has asked that woman about speaking for her to the king. That is just a natural thing. He has some entrance into that court. About speaking for her to that captain of the guard. But now Gehazi is seeking for their benefactor a blessing, a special blessing from God. Verily, truly, surely, he says, verily, she hath no child and her husband is old. That is not the suggestion of this woman. That is a conversation that is taking place without that woman. It is a conversation that is taking place on behalf of that woman. It is a conversation that is taking place for that woman. She is not involved in this. Gehazi seeks power. Power for a woman who has no power. He knows that power exists. He has seen something of that power already. At the hand of his master. What kind of a power is it? It is a sovereign power. It is the power of God. But Gehazi knows who that his master is. Gehazi knows that his master has a place with the Lord. Gehazi is asking his master because he knows of the calling that his master has from the Most High God. Oh, the greatest blessings that we can receive in this life are the blessings of the true church of God. But where do they begin? They do not begin with the request of that people. Oh, they are a fruit of heavenly transactions. It is a conversation, as it were, that has taken place without them. They are not involved in this. These are sovereign decisions. They are made by God alone, and they are made also at the request of the Son of God, for power for those who are impotent and for those who are unworthy. The church is passive in this. It will become active. Indeed, that woman also will become active, but in this part, she is passive. Thus, the church has nothing to do with that. It is the Lord's work. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. Oh, the Lord's ways. They are incomprehensible. Do you know what Paul says? They are past finding out. We cannot penetrate into the dealings of the Lord with his own people. We can only marvel at what the Lord does for his people. How long a time that this woman has asked. How long a time that this woman has supplicated to the Lord. We do not know. But one thing we know, that asking has ceased. It has stopped. How do we know that? We know that from her answer. She says, "Nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid." Oh, the matter has become impossible for this woman. Slowly, over many years, and yet so surely. "Nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid." She has despaired of this blessing already a long time ago, and she has resigned herself to missing it, to missing it. The Lord is righteous. The Lord owes us nothing. And then the Lord is even bringing by times his people to expect nothing anymore. To expect nothing anymore. They are put on the outside. And yet they still love him. That love is not diminished. Oh, that is such a beautiful place. That is such a precious place for a man to be brought in this world. A fallen man to be brought. Do we know the place of this woman? "Nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid." It is a shock to this woman. It comes so unexpectedly. She is not prepared for that. It comes so suddenly. And it comes in a time that she is not even looking for it anymore. Because she has long given up hope for that blessing. And so this comes so suddenly, and it comes at her, as it were, unawares. You know, David, he said, "It is time, Lord, for thee to work." Oh, that is what that people, when the Lord is stripping them, when the Lord is emptying that people, oh, then they said, "Lord, now it is time. Now I have nothing left. Now I am empty. Now I am at the bottom of that pit. Now it is time for thee to work." And nothing happens. Nothing happens. And why not? Because what does the Lord say? The Lord says, "Turn again. Turn again, and I will show unto thee greater abominations than these." The Lord says there needs to be more emptying. People do not realize that. Did the desire of that woman for a child, did the desire for a child cease? No. No, the desire did not cease. But it only became impossible. It could not happen anymore. It could not happen for her anymore. It could happen for all the other women. But for her, it was no longer going to take place. And then the Lord came. And then the Lord came. So unexpectedly. So surprisingly. and then as a wonder-doing God. We're going to sing. Psalter 394, stanza 3. Thy mighty acts and terrible shall men with awe confess. Of thy great goodness they shall sing, and perfect righteousness. Stanza 3 of 394. Thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. That woman does not want to be deceived. She is not a stranger of false hopes, of hoping and of praying over and over again. And disappointments over and over and over again until the disappointments were the thing that were to rule. The most common was to be disappointed in my hopes. She's afraid to hope. She's afraid to hope. Lest she hope and again be disappointed. Are you afraid to hope? Lest you be disappointed. But now that fulfillment, it did not depend on that woman, who could not receive that promise for its greatness, for its suddenness, for it being so unexpected. Then the fulfillment did not depend at all on how that woman did receive that word of the prophet of the Lord. as if the Lord should say, well, then I will not give it to you. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. The Lord did it anyway. Despite that woman, despite her weakness in believing, despite all her doubting, despite all her fears, oh, there is nothing of the salvation of the Lord that is dependent upon his people. What does the Lord say? That he is the author and he is the finisher of faith. If it would depend on their prayer, it would be impossible because they cease. If it would depend on their faith, it would be impossible because that is so very, very small. But the salvation of the Lord is bought and paid for by the Son of God. And there is nothing, nothing that needs to be added to the work of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Ghost. That is a salvation that is sometimes received by great faith and sometimes by very weak faith. And also that little faith receives that same salvation. Oh, what must that have been for that woman when that life began to be felt in her womb? And she began to feel the reality of the fulfillment of that promise of the Lord. The Lord is so true. The Lord is so good. And all despite us, and then how ashamed that that woman has felt what she has answered the prophet of the Lord. Oh, that unbelief, that wretched unbelief. And daring to call God a liar and his servant a liar because that people ascribe such small power and such little grace unto the Lord. Congregation, the Lord is a surprising God to unworthy and to sinful people. How long have you been praying? For a long time. Maybe some of you for many, many years together. And what of it? Do you say there is yet no answer? Do you say it is vain to serve God? What profit is it that I have laid my desire when you have stood on the outside of it? When it could be for everyone, but it was not for you. No answer yet. Because the Lord has not yet answered, does not mean that He has not yet heard. Do you believe that? Do you know what David says? He says, my cup runneth over. Who did that? The Lord did that. And the Lord still does that. But when does the Lord do that? When the cup is empty. When the cup is empty. We are always in a hurry. The Lord is not in a hurry. With Him, one day is as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years are as one day. The Lord is thorough. He is thorough. And there is going to be nothing, absolutely nothing of man that is going to be mixed in with the work of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. The promise of the Lord is good. The Lord is true to His own word. And every one of that church is going to experience it to be so. That it will be fulfilled from another side. That is now the safety of the true church of God. Thus let the barren soul that have no fruit and who love the Lord and who love the Lord wait upon Him. The apostle says He is a rewarder of them that seek Him. Therefore it must be. It cannot be otherwise that that time is coming for that people according to the time of life that you will embrace a son. Amen.
Lord, wilt Thou remember them where that they are? For Thou knowest Thy own, who we do not know, who are quiet. And who are on the outside. And have no power to bring themselves on the inside. Lord, look upon them in our midst also. And give that they may be brought to the birth. And that they may be gladdened with thy deeds. Who say, do not lie unto thine handmaid. Wilt thou bring us safely home? Remember us in the week to come. Wilt thou give work at thy throne of grace? And give that all the disappointments that are in life may be sanctified for the need of our souls. Remember thou the classes that we'll meet. Lord, wilt thou be amongst us? Remember the candidate who must be examined. Help him, Lord. Give him the ability to bring forth all the things that he has studied and learned. And wilt thou give the time soon to come that he may be united to his flock. Remember all that travel in this week. Those that come and go from the classes, others that come and go from this land, our own father-in-law also, who will begin that trek home again in the day of tomorrow. And wilt thou watch over each and every one of them in the air and by the way? Spare us all in mercy for one another. And teach us the tender fear of thy most holy name, forgiving all of our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 398, 1, 2, and 3. The Lord upholds the faltering feet and makes the weak securely stand, the burdened ones bowed down with grief, are helped by his most gracious hand. 1, 2, and 3 of 398.
blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Bless you.